Good evening. Welcome to the fall semester of Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I'm Dr. W. Ron Walker. I am your instructor for this particular session. And I'm so thankful for the leadership that we're up under, an apostle, Leroy Thompson Sr., Mom Carolyn Thompson, his wife, and the entire royal family. I'm so thankful for them and thankful to them for not only opening up this school of ministry, but for being the greatest spiritual father and spiritual mother that a man or a woman can ever ask for in Christ. They are who they say they are. And so in this class, it is our endeavor to always point you to them and to function from the apostolic grace that's upon his life and is upon his ministry. You cannot receive an apostle without receiving both the man and the ministry. So I honor my apostle today. My life has never been the same since I met him in November of 98. So I'm always thankful to have the opportunity to share with you that connection means everything. And so it's good to be connected. So, Father, this evening we give you glory, honor, and thanksgiving for these students who have signed up to become a part of one of the greatest missions in the earth. That is where we have a man of God who's willing to pour his life and ministry out so that our lives and our ministries can be exactly what you want them to be. For you declared in your word that if we are faithful in another man's ministry, then you will and can entrust us with our own. I thank you for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. I thank you for the apostolic call and the apostolic grace that's upon his life and ministry. I thank you that that same grace is upon every instructor that's in this training center, and that these students' lives will be forever changed because they have come in contact with apostolic government and grace. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. We always want these students to know that you are the true teacher. All revelation and insight comes from you. You are the only one that can escort us into the realm of the Spirit, and that discerning of spirits is very important for where we are in this day. I thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is going to be a very unique year, unique semester, because normally I would start at the beginning of a book and go all the way through it, line upon line, you know, precept upon precept, chapter by chapter. But in prayer, the Holy Ghost wanted me to start out differently. Now, I'm going to open up with a preface, but we're not going to go to chapter 1 and chapter 2. I want you to begin reading chapter number 7. Chapter number 17. And that has to deal with the 7 major revivals of the New Testament. And I want to begin with where we are now and where we are headed, because we're right now dealing with times of reformation. You know, this class, of course, is catching the waves of revival. And we're right now in the revival time of times of reformation. And then finally, in chapter number 18, we'll talk about times of the revivalists, in which I most certainly believe that Apostle Leroy Thompson is one of the revivalists for the day that we're presently in. And then those who connect to him properly will be able to even carry things out further if they receive the proper training. So the 7 major revivals that we want to deal with, number 1 begins with times of revelation. Then we have times of repentance. Then we have times of refreshing. Then we have times of revealing. Then we have times of restoration. Then we have times of reformation. Then we have times of the revivalists. You go in your book and you'll see that. So today, if you would just bear with me, we're going to go through the preface so we can understand exactly what catching the waves of revival is all about. So let us begin. The definition of revival. Revival is the sovereign act of God in which God restores his own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience. Y'all notice that? It's God's sovereignty where he brings his people back to repentance, faith, and obedience. Revival in the Bible is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. Now, you remember when John the Baptist came on the scene as the forerunner to Jesus Christ, and he said these words, "I indeed baptize you," Matthew 3:11, "with water unto repentance. But there cometh one after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." In much of this generation and in generations past, we've always emphasized the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But John just didn't talk about being baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. But he also talked about a baptism of fire. We must understand that our Father God is an all-consuming fire. And to answer hell's fire in the earth, we must be filled with a fire from heaven above. And so I want you to prepare yourself for violently praying in the Spirit so that fire can get magnified in you and you'll become a hot coal, C-O-A-L, for the kingdom of God. Okay. Revival breaks the effects and influence of hell's fire on the earth. And it establishes God's kingdom, government, here on earth. God's kingdom and God's government here on earth. Now, y'all know what the scripture say? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. I thank God that we live in a democracy. I thank God for the freedoms that we enjoy. I bless all of the men and women of our military who protect our freedom. But let me tell you something. You're not free till the Son sets you free. And the freedoms that we really enjoy is because of a theocracy. Our democracy was supposed to be founded in the theocracy, in God we trust. But as kingdom citizens, we must not be Democrats and Republicans and all of these factions. We must be theocrats, one nation under God, one nation under God. Are you listening? Go ahead, child. The purpose of apostolic government and the purpose of apostolic ministry is to create heaven to earth government, which allows the portals of the supernatural to be open. Now, let me explain that. See, Jesus, when he ascended up on high, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, beginning at the 8th verse on down to the 11th and the 12th verse, "Wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave what? Gifts unto men." He gave gifts. These gifts that Jesus gave to the church, we call the fivefold ministry gift. These gifts, five of them, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, they make up the one Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ stood in all fivefold ministry offices. But when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive and took a seat at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says he gave gifts unto men. The gifts that he gave is the ones that God set. So in Ephesians 4, it says he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, he gave these gifts so Christ could be formed in us, so that what the head carried out in the earth realm, the body will carry it out. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28, you will find these words. And God had set some in the church, first apostles. So apostles are the first gift that Jesus gave and God set in the church. Apostles open up the portals of heaven. In the ministry of Jesus, he took 12 men. Yes, he was training a multitude of disciples and learners. But in prayer all night long, he prayed and God gave him the name of 12 men, the names of 12 men who was to assist him in establishing apostolic government and apostolic ministry in the earth realm. If you have any doubt about Jesus being an apostle, you should read Hebrews chapter number 3, where Paul said, consider the apostle. You see. Well, somebody get that. Let me make sure I'm quoting that right. Hebrews 3 and 1, read it. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, our confession. Who? Now notice those words. It didn't say Jesus Christ. It said Christ Jesus, the anointed man Jesus. Are you listening? So the anointed man Jesus, who in fact is the incarnate word, Jesus the Christ, the word that was made flesh, and function here in the earth realm as a man anointed from God, stood in all fivefold ministry offices, and the first group he trained was apostles. And the only way for us to connect the apostolic government and ministry is by connecting properly to the ministry gift, the first in rank, the first one that God gave in the apostles. Now, the church is built upon the foundation, Ephesians 2:20, of apostles and prophets, Jesus the Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we must understand that these ministry gifts must remain connected to the head, even though they are gifts given to the body. And the foundation of the church is apostles and prophets. So if you're not connecting properly to the apostle and the prophet, then the foundation in your life is faulty. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. Don't get mad, get glad, get a sandwich bag. Okay, go ahead. The only way to shut the gates of hell is to open the doors of heaven. Cooperation. There must be cooperation in revival. God cannot move unless men have taken the time to prepare themselves in accordance to God's revealed word. Revival is a cooperation and a covenant thing. The fire came from heaven after the prophet Elijah had built an altar according to God's word. See, a prophet or an apostle, and it should be for any other ministry gift, we can't do what God did not instruct us to do. We're not here to put on a show. We are up under government. Apostles are responsible for opening up the portals of God by hearing from heaven and declaring what heaven is telling us. An apostle without intimacy with the Holy Ghost cannot open up the portals of heaven, because it is the Holy Spirit who hears what the Father and the Son speaks and give it to a man in the earth realm to disseminate unto the body. You can't bypass God's men, but you can't bypass the one who got the revelation first, the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, and he makes and reveals them unto the set men that God put in the church. So apostles, prophets, and every other ministry gift, their primary responsibility is to minister to God so God can minister to them so they can in turn minister to the people. That is the job of the fivefold ministry. Not to be doing all of these administrative tasks, even though some of us are good at administration. But we must first, primarily, spend time in prayer. Y'all remember in Acts chapter number 6, when there was a dispute amongst the Grecian women saying that the Hebrews women were being cared for more than them. And they brought this to the apostles. And the apostles said, look, it is not meet for us to leave the word of God, to take care, to leave the word prayer and the word of God to come take care of this natural issue. Choose out 7 men from among you who are full of the Holy Ghost so they can oversee this matter. But our primary purpose is to spend time in prayer and in the ministry of the word, allowing God to minister to us so we can turn around and minister to you. Go ahead, child. Now, this back to what Elijah the prophet did. He obeyed God. He built the altar according to God's word. And the rain came. Now, the rain came after Noah built the ark according to God's word, according to the pattern that God showed him. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came after the apostles prepared themselves cooperatively and corporately in the upper room. Jesus said, the head of the church said, you are not to go out and do nothing until you be endued with power from on high. I'm sending you to the upper room so you could wait for the promise of the Father. You have heard of me, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with power. Not many days hence, the same Holy Ghost that raised me from the dead, the same Holy Ghost that was in control of my life and ministry, that's the same one you're going to walk around with. Go ahead. Revival is a sovereign move of God. It is an intervention of God in the affairs of men. You want to know why? Because the heart of the Father is that no man perish. Revival is not something that you or I can plan. It is something that God does by his spirit. That's why you go to all these revivals and nothing happens. Hold up, let me say this. You can go to a revival and nothing happen because you don't have the revivalist. A revivalist is the one that ensures that the revival is here. Y'all better hear me, children. Go ahead. We can lay the foundation and we can prepare. But it is God who have to move. See, we can lay the foundation. We can prepare. But we can't do nothing until God speaks. God instructs. God orders. Go ahead. And we have to follow instruction. See, when the Bible say now the just shall live by faith, faith is not complicated. Faith is following apostolic instructions through hearing. Write it down. Never forget it. That's what faith is. Following, write it vertically. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, following apostolic instructions through hearing. Why? Because God chose the apostle to bring or open up the portals of heaven to pass on what he want to us. Go ahead. Catching the waves of revival is the unfolding of what it takes to bring revival into our city and into our land. We will study in this book, Catching the Waves of Revival, the various stages of revival. Most people believe we will have to wait for revival because it is a sovereign act and only God can determine when it should happen. The glory came after Moses built the tabernacle. The heavens opened after Jesus prayed. The Holy Spirit came after they had gathered together in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came after the apostles laid their hands on the believer. Ah, I wanted you to see that. You're waiting on the sovereignty of God to make the move, but there's something we must do to activate revival in our city and in our ministry. The stages of revival, as unfolded in this book, can help us to prepare our churches to walk into the spirit of revival before it breaks out in full scale. To know how and what to do. What is that talking about? The church today must be as the sons of Issachar, a people who had an understanding of the times and know what to do. We're in the midst of a pandemic. We're in the midst of all kind of hell breaking out on earth. And what are church people preparing for? The rapture. Don't get mad with Dr. Walker. Just heal my heart. Hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. For he must reign until every enemy is made his footstool. Don't prepare to go nowhere until all the kingdoms of the earth becomes the kingdom of our God. We cannot do that with heaven mentality. We shouldn't be looking to go to heaven. We should be looking to bring heaven to earth. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now watch this. As in heaven, so in earth. as on earth. The only way God's kingdom can be manifested on earth, it got to get in earth. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we could manifest the unseen kingdom, the unseen dimension, that the unseen realm that we all come from. Go ahead, child. To know how and to know what to do is important. And we need to have prophetic insight and prophetic perception. We in this new generation, we have to know that we have been given keys to the kingdom. Keys to the kingdom. What are those keys for? To unlock. Y'all listen to this? To unlock and also to shut up. To lock some stuff up. Hello. Go ahead. Keys don't just unlock. They also lock. We know of our asking, seeking, and knocking. We know about asking, seeking, and knocking, but we have this knocking theology. We got to move from the knocking theology to the unlocking theology. In other words, why are you knocking at a door that you got a key to? Come on, child. Y'all want to know what the keys are? So while we're here catching the waves of revival, the keys of unlocking begins with revelation knowledge. You cannot unlock what's not revealed. Go ahead. So stop knocking and take those keys of revelation and start unlocking. One believer can knock, but it's up to God to determine if and when he will open. The other believer determines that it's over and have the keys to the kingdom in his hand. That's why Jesus didn't go around praying, telling him, Lord, if it's your will. Jesus knew he was sent to do what he did. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. One believes in waiting on God, while the other believes in advancing the kingdom. You cannot advance God's kingdom without a revelation of true Bible faith. True Bible faith is now. Faith is always in the present moment. You function in the present moment. You function like it's already done. Jesus in St. John 19:30 said, it is finished. We are walking in a finished work. Let me give you an example that God gave me so you can fully understand that God's work was completed before the foundation of the world. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. If you go to Toys R Us or Walmart and you see this bike on the showroom floor and you want this bike for your little daughter, a nice little pink bike with a basket in the front, all right, right now she need training wheels and you got all that for the little bike. And you get the sales matter and say, I would like to purchase that bike. Well, they don't sell you the bike that's already assembled. That's for show. They're going to go in the back and get you a box with all of the equipment in it that's necessary to put that bike together. They will not only give you the equipment, they give you a little white thing that comes in a little plastic thing called instructions. Oh, my goodness. If you follow the instructions, that's faith. Faith is already done. If you follow the instructions, which is faith, then you're walking in done. Because in order to experience the do of God, you must look at it, it's already done. And God speak to us that it's done, now go do. Go follow my instructions and it will come out just like you see it. Go ahead, child. These apostolic teachings and procedures will help the church to work out their own soul salvation and coming into your inheritance. The keys of the kingdom are given to a mature church, not an immature church who will squander the inheritance. In other words, in maturity, you understand the purpose of wealth. You understand the purpose of your inheritance. You understand your calling. You understand your inheritance. And you understand your purpose. You find that in Ephesians chapter 1. Go ahead, child. You have to be a real son to carry the keys. You cannot use the keys as a rookie. We can bring full-scale transformation on this earth by thinking with a mind of a strategist and pursuing this course with the spirit of a revivalist. Do not allow or do not let strategies take the place of your spirit. Don't allow strategies to take place of revelation. They have too many strategies in the church. We're trying to do what the secular world did to build the church. Jesus said, upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, the church has been on the defense for too long. We must be on the offense. Offensive minded, because hell can't stop us. We're not here to stop hell. We are here because hell can't stop us. Go ahead. True revival produces specifications for the good of man and the glory of God. In other words, what are you saying, Dr. Walker? There is an apostolic blueprint for success in the earth realm. That apostolic blueprint is given to us through revelation knowledge. That revelation knowledge can only come through meditating God's word. Meditating God's word is peeling it open and allowing the word to become flesh in you. Go ahead. Now, we're going on to chapter number 17, times of reformation. Reformation means to return or to restore back to its original form. The times of reformation has to do with reforming the structure, purpose, and the belief system of the church. Why? Because we have too many strategies. There is going to be a restoration of apostolic structure and church government. Now watch this, children. Jesus said, and the last shall be first, and the first last. You've heard him say that. But you've never applied that with the fact that he gave first apostles and secondarily prophets. The first gifts to be given are going to be the last ones restored. That's why this revival, this time of reformation, is setting us up for the time of the revivalists. The very works that Jesus did will become commonplace in this move of revival. Go ahead. Apostolic wisdom is being released upon the church to help it to become more committed to eternal values and purposes. God's wisdom is building the church to become formidable fortresses made impregnable to satanic invasion. The times of reformation has to do with the reforming of the society around us. Now let's talk about this. In order to have reformation, in order for there to be reform, you got to have a reformer. And that reformer is the revivalist. I'm going to give you some definitions on reformation, reform, so you can understand what reform is all about. Reform is to improve someone or something by removing or correcting faults, to improve your own behavior or habits, to put or to change into an improved form or condition, to amend or to improve by change of form or removal of faults or abuses. Now see, in reform, we're talking about going back to God's original plan. See, the church, like in Hebrews 2 and 1, it say we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Another translation say we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. Meditation, spending time with God on a daily basis, keeps us from drifting away. Go ahead, child. The times of reformation has to do with reforming the society around us. Well, go ahead. The revival in times of reformation brings God's consciousness upon the society. And when the revival breaks out upon a society, crime rates drop, moral values are upheld, marriage is held or esteemed in honor, and family values are restored. Dramatic changes in lives where sinners are transformed into holy saints. Much community work and projects get organized. Politicians, mayors, council members are seen dwelling more with the people. And the spiritual climate and atmosphere over the city is conducive for widespread evangelistic moves. All right, that's it for this evening. We'll see you next week. Read chapter 17 and 18.